Good morning,
Good morning.
and welcome to the Minnesota Court of Appeals for our virtual oral argument this morning in the matter of Longton versus Pollard. And is it Vogus or Vogues? I'm not sure how to pronounce it.
Vogus is how I believe it's said.
All right. Well, thank you. I will, before getting into the rules, just state for the record what, of course, counsel is already aware of, which is that we are not live at the Minnesota Judicial Center. Or elsewhere where we hold cases, oral argument ordinarily, for the good of the public and the parties and the attorneys and court staff, in light of the ongoing national emergency and state emergency as a result of the pandemic, we're holding our oral arguments by WebEx, an imperfect substitute for in-person proceedings. So please do indicate for the court if there are technical issues in the argument as we are proceeding. If you're not able to hear the court or you're not seeing any member of the court, please indicate so, and we can pause and make sure that we get the technology sorted out. Today we have only one advocate arguing, the respondents having chosen to waive oral argument or not having presented a brief by one of the parties. So counsel for appellant, you will have 15 minutes to present your argument. Of course, since no one is arguing against you, we will not offer any rebuttal unless you wanted that 5 minutes to argue against your position, which I doubt you do.
No.
Please state your name as you commence your argument, because even though we can see you and we can see your name here, the presentation today is being recorded only by audio and will be made available only by audio on the court's website in due course. And with that, whenever you're ready to proceed, you may begin your argument.
I had one question. Is it okay that I'm sitting? I've never sat during an argument, so is that okay?
That's perfect. It's perfectly fine. In fact, if you were standing, you would be in the minority of lawyers who stand during these proceedings. So thank you for the question, but yes, you may feel free to remain seated.
Okay. I'm Michael Bryant. I represent Sampson Longton. And with the circumstance with no brief and no argument, I really don't know. I mean, our position is that there was enough facts here that it should have gone to a jury. And the jury should have been evaluated whether or not there was an actual claim that could be made. Everything flows from the actual initial claim, and it was based upon the judge's finding that there wasn't an initial claim, that they decided that there couldn't be a conspiracy, and the rest of it didn't flow. So we start with the issue of whether or not there was an initial claim, and it's our position there was enough facts that by the things that they told him, that the follow-up that they did, that by the claims that they made, that they dragged him behind the truck. And then later on, when pictures showed up of him actually being stalked and followed at Walmart, they showed they had the ability to do this. Initially, you know, we've tried to get discovery from them, weren't able to do that. They, at the summary judgment motion, showed up with this affidavit, which we think was a flawed affidavit and shouldn't even have been considered. And it's tough to say whether it was considered or not, but in looking at all the facts, it's our position this should have gone to a jury, and I don't know why it was dismissed. So,
Mr. Bryant, did you ask the district court to continue the summary judgment hearing so to permit you to conduct the discovery that you've talked about, you know, not that the respondent's not cooperating with, as contemplated by Rule 56.04?
We did that a number of times, Your Honor. There was a number of hearings about that. In the end, you know, I just thought we'd get this thing over with so we could get to a jury and do it. And so, yeah, we had initially a couple of times, and they wouldn't show up. I mean, their actions with no brief and no argument is pretty consistent with the way they've been most of this case.
So if I could jump in here, the facts that I think seem to drive the decision that there wasn't enough there to state a claim, let's go back to the complaint and put aside the affidavit issue or the what it was that the court relied on. Let's just go back to the complaint. What in the complaint, when, according to the complaint, did the assault occur?
Well, the assault, our position is, and I didn't do the original complaint, I took the case on later, but our position was the assault started with the actual claims being made when they called him names, and then he found out the information that they would drag him under the truck. But when you got to the point where they were taking pictures of him, and he had pictures showing that they were right outside the Walmart knowing where he was, clearly they had the ability to do this, and so I think definitely by the time to the pictures, but earlier our position is when they start talking about dragging him under the truck and hanging him and killing him.
When, according to the complaint, did he become aware of that conversation? Because that wasn't communicated directly to him. So what was communicated to him, I think, was in April. And then you have the Walmart incident in September. When was the knowledge that they were talking to each other about him? When did he learn of that? If that is something that's in the complaint,
I don't know that. Their exchange took place on the same day, on the April 22nd through the 24th, and he had the phone conversation with one of the defendants on April 22nd and 24th. So I think it was within a couple of days. I think it was within that same time period that he became aware of that. It wasn't until the Walmart post wasn't until the September 2nd of 2015. And the claim by the defendant is, I was in Michigan and I couldn't have done these things. And some of their reliance is on old case law that, you know, in the past, you had to get on a horse, you had to take a week or 2 weeks to get to somebody. The reality is the ability to go places is way shorter now, and that a lot of the old cases don't apply, although, you know, we're under a different set of rules as of today, you know.
Well, whether it's old cases or not, there's still... Sure. Needs to be a present opportunity to carry out the threat. You're suggesting that the ability to get in an airplane and get to Minnesota quickly would somehow eliminate that element of an assault or not? What exactly are you arguing?
It would make the time period shorter. So the ability to carry out a threat would be shorter. But when he's having exchanges with people here, when he's having discussions about, I could come home, and definitely when they're taking pictures of him outside the Walmart, all of this could happen very easily.
Right, but doesn't the assault occur? I mean, I guess, isn't the assaultive conduct, as it's alleged, the actual threat that was made, that communicated to your client? And if that's so, don't we look to determine that at the time of that particular communication, there was the ability to carry out the threat? That is, putting your client in a position where he reasonably, not just subjectively, but reasonably is concerned that the threat can be acted upon.
I would agree with that as just as a threshold issue, but to get into the facts and make some of the determinations, I think that's a jury issue to look at and decide. I think that there's enough basic information here that to go with it, there's enough prima facie evidence here to get to a jury. Or at least that's our position. Whether I think it doesn't matter. Our position in the claim is that. I don't know. Has anybody got any other questions? Or it's an odd situation with no brief and no rebuttal or anything.
Well, sure. Let me ask a clarifying question about your argument on conspiracy. You said at the outset, and I understand that this is how you argued it in your brief, that it's essentially just derivative of whether or not the assault. Whether there are facts to support this assault, right? So I just want to clarify that is your position. You're not asking us today to create some exception or statement of the law that would make conspiracy to commit an assault somehow different from the requirements of other civil conspiracy, that the unlawful act actually has to happen for those, but not for an assault. You're not asking us to do something like that, right?
No, I don't think that's it. This would be the place to do that. So no, I agree. Anything else? Great. Well, thank you. And thanks for allowing this opportunity to do it this way. So. Well,
thank you, Mr. Bryant. The matter is submitted and under advisement. We will issue our opinion within the statutory period.
Okay, thanks, Judge.
And this is our last case on for oral argument today, so we are in recess. Thank you.